Thank you, Lisa and Elizabeth, for leading us in worship. Break thou the bread of life. What a tremendous song, isn't it? Rich. Good. Mark was very poor at spelling. On examination day, he was stumped by many difficult words. Softly, the tempter whispered, "Look at Jane's paper. She's an honor student and always gets them right." Mark heeded the suggested and copied several answers. The teacher noticed that the actions was greatly surprising to her, for she had always thought of him as an honest boy. When time came to collect the completed work, she observed that Mark was having an inner struggle. After bowing his head for a moment, he suddenly tore up his paper. Although at first he had yielded to temptation, he finally decided to take a zero than to be dishonest. Calling the boy to her desk, the teacher said, "I was watching you, Mark, and I want you to know that I'm very proud of you for what you did today. You really passed a much greater examination than the spelling test." What a thought, isn't it? He was honest. The Spirit of God ministered to him and helped him to realize what he did was wrong. Some of you are teachers, and all of us are teachers in a sense, because we have children we've tried to teach, and now we have grandchildren. Most of us have grandchildren, and we try to teach them what's right. You understand what I'm saying? Well, here's another illustration. The father of a small boy would occasionally sneak into his neighbor's orchard and pluck some of the choice fruit. He always made sure, however, that the coast was clear. One day, with his son tagging along, after carefully looking in every direction and seeing no one, he crept through the fence. He was just about ready to help himself when the youngster startled him by crying out, "Dad, Dad, you didn't look up. You forgot to see if God was watching." When temptation besets us and we're inclined to yield because we think no one else is around, remember, if we're a Christian, the Master is always in. What a thought, isn't it? What an illustration. What's the definition of sin? Or not sin, but temptation. Temptation is, in itself, is not sin, but it's when we yield to temptation that it becomes sin to us. James wrote, as our brother Jimmy shared this morning, that no one should say, "God is tempting me." No one. Because God doesn't tempt us, nor does he bring temptation. He's not the source of temptation. One wrote that temptation is an enticement or an invitation to sin. When the implied promise of greater good to be derived from following the way of disobedience. It isn't a matter if we are tempted, but when we are tempted. Amen. All of us face temptation. All of us. It's a part of life. Joseph Mallard Turner, an English painter, invited Charles Kingsley to his studio to see a picture of the storm at sea. In rapt admiration, Kingsley exclaimed, "It's wonderful. It's so realistic. How did you do it?" The artist replied, "I went to the coast of Holland and engaged a fisherman to take me to the sea and in the next storm. Entering the boat as the storm was brewing, I asked him to bind me to the mast. Then he steered his boat into the teeth of the storm. The storm raged with such fury that at times I longed to be in the bottom of the boat where the waves would blow over me. I could not, however. I was bound to the mast. Not only did I see the storm in its raging fury, I felt it. It actually blew into me as if it were until I became a part of it. After this terrible ordeal, I returned to my studio and painted the picture." Amazing, isn't it? That's a beautiful picture. It is written of Jesus in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, "Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." You see, beloved, sometimes we think we're the only ones tempted. But Jesus was tempted in all ways, as again the writer says, in all ways as we are, yet he was what? Without sin. Wow. Jesus was tempted in all ways. How thankful we are this morning that God does not bring temptation, nor is he the source of them. You see, his very character or his nature would deny such a thing because he is holy. The Bible says, "Be holy as I am holy." The scripture very clearly says that. He is a spiritual God. He's incapable of doing anything evil. James says, again, "For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone with evil." Some of you may be asking then yourselves, where does temptation come from? Well, James explains that here in verse 14. Each one is tempted by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. James is telling us that sin is an inside job, or comes what? From within. Within. We're born with that principle within us. We need to see that there's a progression or a courtship to sin. There's nothing wrong with hunger or the desire to eat. Is anybody here don't like to? No, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But we all like to eat, don't we? And some of us maybe more than others. There's nothing wrong with that. It becomes a moral issue, however, when we steal or misrepresent the truth in order to get food. There's nothing wrong with psychological need to be loved or accepted or needed. But to lie, to misrepresent, or bear false witness to meet the need is evil. There's nothing wrong with sexual fulfillment within the bonds of marriage. But to commit adultery or to have premarital or extramarital sex in order to meet this need is sinful. These desires are part of the driving force of life. But when we endeavor to fulfill them in the wrong way, they become sin. We're humans. Amen? We're humans. At least I am. I don't know about you. We all are, aren't we? We're all humans. But you see, there's also a conception of sin. James says here in verse 15, "After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death." When our physical or psychological need or desire is approved by our knowledgeable spirit, then sin is born. There's also a conception of sin. One wrote, "It is the will of the individual yields to desire at the expense of obedience to God's known will, and desire conceives and gives birth to sin. Some have taught that there is no fun in sin, but I believe they might be wrong." You suppose? Again, Moses illustrates this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a while. People say, "Well, I'm having fun." If you're a Christian, you don't have any fun. Well, folks, I got to tell you the truth this morning. There's more fun in being a Christian than there is being a non-Christian. Amen? Amen. More fun. It's exciting. It's happy. There's fulfillment in our hearts and in our lives. Secondly, we notice the determination of temptation. Again, there in verse 12, chapter 1. "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." It seems that we have two choices concerning temptation. We can yield to the temptation and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time, or we can not yield to sin and then receive God's crown of life. What a promise. What a realization. Sometimes we may think we're the only ones facing temptation, but Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Aren't you glad? God has promised to be with us as we are tempted in this life. And we're going to be tempted. It's not a matter of when. Not a matter if, but it's a matter of when it will happen in our lives. Later, James gives us some steps to full spiritual life. Again, over in chapter 4, he says these words. Chapter 4, beginning to read verse 7. "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. We can be assured this morning that the devil will do his best to get us to yield to the temptations in life, but we can resist him. Did not know what Jesus did in the book of Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted by the devil. Jesus resisted him. He quoted scripture to him. He overcame Satan. When you are tempted, say the name of Jesus or the blood of Christ. You see, those are two things that have defeated Satan. He cannot stand the name of Jesus. He was defeated when Jesus arose from the grave. We're not fighting for victory this morning. We're fighting from victory. Aren't you glad? Oh, I almost feel like shouting. Amen. It's good to know that victory is ours through what? Through Jesus. When we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. We need to make sure that we've asked God, however, through Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins and invite him to come into our hearts and our lives and surrender our wills to him and ask him to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "Be joyful always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." There are some people that try to like to live with the world, at the same time try to live for God. We know this morning that that doesn't work. Some people try to live as close to the devil as they can and yet try to serve God. It doesn't work, folks. Jesus himself said, we cannot what? Serve two masters, but we will only serve one. How grateful, how thankful we need to be that God has a desire to help us. Today we've shared with you about the definition and the determination of temptation. Again, James says in verse 13 of chapter 1, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." He also wrote there in verse 12 of the same chapter, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." In other words, God is saying to us, don't give up, don't give in, don't yield to temptation, but trust me. Many of you perhaps are acquainted with those electric tags that used to be put on clothes. You know what I'm talking about, those clothes? So people can't pick up the clothes and take them out the door, because if they do, there's an alarm that goes off and it makes all kinds of noise. Also, Or in some tags, they made it possible that not only does the noise go, but ink may just splatter everywhere. You've seen those, perhaps heard about those. Well, you know what? God has a tag too. It is the Holy Spirit. When we do something we know we should not do, the Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts and say, "Son, daughter, that was wrong." And you can't procrastinate. Immediately when the Spirit of God speaks to us, we need to say, "Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me." You know, those are some of the hardest words to say, but it's some of the best words that come to the ears of God. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us. He guides us. He directs us. One has said it well in these words, "My life is governed by this rule. Anything that dims my vision of Christ, takes away my Bible study, or cramps my prayer life, or makes my Christian walk difficult is wrong for me. I must, as a Christian, turn away from it." Quote, unquote. What's he saying to us? Anything that keeps us from being what God wants us to be, or should be, is wrong for us. Aren't you glad that we don't have to yield to temptation, but we can be overcomers through Jesus Christ this morning? Overcomers. Not just getting by, but we can live a life that is exemplifying the life of Jesus. You see, he overcame Aren't you glad this morning? He wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to live in a way that brings glory and honor to Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You this morning again for being with us today. We thank You for the words of James here in his book. It's actually Your book. And we thank You for the insight, the inspiration, and the encouragement that we find as we read and study the Word of God. And again, as the writer of the book of Hebrews says, that it's sharper than a double-edged sword. Sometimes it comes close and sometimes it comes searching. But we're thankful the Word of God is alive, it's active, and desires to help us when we read it, when we allow it to become a part of our lives. Minister to us now this morning and minister through us. Help us that we might learn from that which we have shared. Guide us, direct us, encourage, work out Your will, Your way. Thank You again for all that You've done and all that You're going to do. Help us this week to live in such a way that others may see Jesus in all that we do and all that we say. For we ask and pray all of these things in His precious name, for His glory and for His honor. Amen. Amen. Some of you have asked about my wife not being with me. We've started something new at the Nazarene Church, and she's there, but she plans to be here next Sunday with me. So just letting you know that. It's not she doesn't want to come or that she's sick, but she's busy. God bless you. Thank you for coming and being a part of this worship service this morning. God bless you. Isn't it good to just gather and worship and lift up His name? Glory to Him. Praise His name this morning. God bless you.